Anybody else got anything before we get started? I tell you, I was Genesis chapter number 12. Genesis chapter number 12. I want to ask you now, has anybody in the auditorium ever had circumstances affect your relationship with God? Would you raise your hand? Circumstances in life affect your relationship with God. You're not alone. And matter of fact, your father Abraham, who by your lineage we've got our darling Savior came out of, the Hebrew nation came out of his loins. He allowed some circumstance to affect his relationship with the Lord. And so I want people to understand that you'll say, well, my relationship this week's doing good. Or maybe you say, my relationship with the Lord was doing good last week. Well, how's it doing this week? I don't know if you know this, but the Christian life is a week by week, day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute issue. And what I found is last week I may have had a wonderful relationship with Christ, but in a few days it can go to pot. Amen. I don't know why that is, but it seems like I can feel like I'm the closest I can ever be with God one day and the furthest I can ever be the next day. In less than 24 hours, I can feel like I don't even know where God is anymore. If we're not careful, we need to always be mindful of where our relationship is with God. I like what a man used to say. He said, I want to be so close to God that if I were to belch, I would say, excuse me, Lord. And that's how close I want to be to him. And so if you got your Bibles, I want to look at Abraham. There's a lot of things in here I would like to get out if the Lord allows me to. If not, that would be fine. But I do see some great truths here from the Word of God. Genesis chapter 12, I want to read one verse, verse number 10. I do want to go back and read other verses, the Lord being our helper, but I feel like I want to start here and then go back and bring you up to where we're at. And I pray tonight that the message will be a help to you. But I found that there's basically three things in Abraham's life, more than that, I guess, but there were circumstances that came his way that affected his relationship. There were people that came his way, and then sometimes there were just things that came his way. And so if Father Abraham, who was in the hall of fame of the faithful, if he can have things affect his relationship with God, then so can we. And so I want to look very quickly. The Bible said, and there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. You may be seated. Now, to get you up to where we're at, we'll find that in chapter number 12, God calls Abraham. And Abram was his name at the time, and he calls this man out of a wicked nation, out of an idolatrous place. And not only that, he calls him at the age of 75, not 7. And so here he is, an older man, and he's been raised around all the wickedness that he has. And God reaches down and calls him out of where he's at. I'm glad when me and you got born again, that's exactly what happened. It was a calling out to call us out of the world and into a relationship with God. And that's what he does with Abraham. But notice what he starts, he gives him, basically it's one long sentence, but he gives him four commandments. Now I want you to notice three out of the four he obeyed, but one of them he disobeyed. Did you know partial obedience is full disobedience? And so if I just partially obey the Lord and I do half of what he says and I disobey one thing, the Bible tells us that if we broke one, we broke them all. Can talk about the laws. And so he gives four commandments in verse number one. But I'm glad I'm not living this Christian life on commandments alone. If you jump to verse number 2, you'll find verse 2 and 3, he gives 7 promises on top of the 4 commandments. He gives more promises than he gave commandments to Abraham. I'm glad I'm not just getting up every morning walking on commandments, but I'm glad I'm walking on promises of God. I'm glad God's given me some things that I can bank on, amen. And so he gives 4 commandments and 7 promises. And notice what the Bible says in verse 4, and Abraham departed. Now, why is that unusual? What about that is very unique, I guess you would say. You'll notice in out of the 4 commandments and the 7 promises he gives, not one time does he give a reason or an explanation. You know what I notice about my Lord that's very interesting? Rarely does he give reason and explanations, but he gives a lot of promises, amen. And he does. See, here's the thing. He expects us to go by faith. I like what Warren Wiersbe, I was reading him this week, and I love what he said. He said, a faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. Amen? I want to say that again. A faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. And so if your faith can't be tested, God sure can't trust it. And so a lot of times, God purposely gives us commandments and promises, but no reasons or explanations. I've noticed in my life alone, God has always just been about, do this, do that, go, and I will bless thee. But he never told me why. I don't need to know why. He's God. God says, go, I will do, I will take care, I will handle, don't worry about it, just go, amen. I'll give you what you need. And so Abraham, in verse 4, said he departed as the Lord had spoken. He had no clue why he was doing what he was doing. He had no clue where he was going. All he knew was God said, I promise you 7 great things if you'll do what I'm asking you to do. Now here's what you got to understand. Up to the age of 75, he had no contact with God. He didn't know the God of heaven. There was no contact with him and the God of this universe. But all of a sudden at 75, God says, Abraham, I'm God. And I love you. Now I want to give you some promises if you'll hold on to them. Out of nowhere. His wife was 65 at the time. I could imagine that day she said, who's God? Abraham said, I don't know, but he's a talking. Whoever he is, he's alive. He's more than the gods I'm a talking to now. Because I ain't hearing nothing back. But this one's alive. See, he knew of the idols and the gods that had a silent relationship with their creator, or that of their worshipers. But this God was different to Abraham. It was not of a God he had been used to. He had been used to those gods that set up on pedestals and they were little statues or maybe idols or moon gods or sun gods, but none of them ever talked to him. But this one got personal with him. He gives him that of 7 promises. In verse number 7, he gives him another one. But I want to get you very quickly to where we're at. He builds an altar in verse number 7. The Bible said that the Lord appeared unto Abraham. That's another thing he had never experienced. Gods didn't come to man. They went to their gods. They were always going. They had to go pick them up, or they had to go to them, or they had to look to them. But no one had ever come to them. This one appeared unto Abraham. And the Bible says here that he appeared, and the Bible said that he built an altar there. Up to this time, if I'm not mistaken, this is one of the first times altars mentioned, one of the few of the first, may not be the first, but it's one of the closest first times it's mentioned in the Bible. And so he builds an altar because the Lord appeared to him. It meant something to him. Notice verse number 8, and he removed from thence into the mountain of east of Bethel and pitched his tent. Now, why is that important at all? Because wherever he went, he ended up pitching a tent. Why did he never build a house? He happened to understand early on that this wasn't his home. It was a temporary place. And so Abraham would always, he'd build tents and he'd set up in a tent as to say, I'm a pilgrim and I'm a stranger. I'm not staying here. This is not a permanent dwelling place for me. And so he built tents. And the Bible said that he also built an altar there. So this is the second altar he built. And he called upon the name of the Lord. So in verse 7, the Lord appeared to him. In verse 8, he called unto the Lord. Now, notice verse number 10. Well, let's look at verse number 9. And Abraham journeyed, going still toward the south. By the way, southward ain't the way you need to be going. Amen. People that are saved are going upward. That was his first mistake. He headed south. Why did he go south? Amen. The Bible said he went south. That's not a good place to be going. And notice what the Bible said. And there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down into Egypt. Now, why is that significant? Because most of the time when Egypt is used anywhere in your Bible, it is a type of the world. It's a type of bondage. It always pictures worldly things. And so why in the world, when famine came all of a sudden, instead of staying where he is at and praying like he had been doing, he heads down to Egypt for help? Why would you go to the world for help? Why in the world would a Christian individual, somebody that knows God on a personal basis, when circumstance comes, why would you turn to the world for the answers? But that's what Abraham done. When it got bad, when things got tight, when the famine got strong, the Bible says that he went down to Egypt. Now, when he got into Egypt, he started getting himself in a mess. I want you to notice something. The whole time he was in Egypt, he never built an altar. He never talked to God. Not one time in Egypt did he call upon God. Not one time did God appear unto Abraham while he was in Egypt. Now, here's what's interesting about today. The longer I stay in the world, the longer I quit hearing from God. The longer I begin to go to the world for answers, the more God quits helping me to an extent. And so here's what Abraham does. He gets in a tight, and let me say this. He would have been better off to stay poor where he's at in a famine than all the wealth of Egypt out of the will of God. But that's exactly where he found himself. Because you'll notice when he gets to Egypt, he starts out by telling half-truths. Now, I understand that his wife was his half-sister. But sometimes we embellish things, amen? And that's exactly what Abraham done. He said here, he began to get conniving. Up to this point, you'll never find him scheming until he gets to Egypt. He begins to scheme some things, and he begins to tell his wife that, look, they're going to love you. They're going to look at you. They're going to fall in love with you. You know what blows my mind? She was 65, amen? She wasn't 25. And I never really thought about this till the other day. I thought, why was he so worried, amen? I mean, she must have been a knockout. For him to be so worried about losing his wife to Pharaoh, he wasn't bringing a 21-year-old. He's bringing a 65-year-old to Egypt. Why in the world would you be so tore up? But I will say, they still wanted her, amen? It's crazy. I ain't never seen nothing like it. But she's 65. She walks in there. Pharaoh falls in love with her. She's a senior citizen, man. But he falls in love. It's amazing. And so here we find that he begins to look at her, and they wanted her. And so he brings them into his harem like he don't have enough women as it is. And so he brings her in. And the Lord begins to deal with him. And so you'll find the whole time he was in Egypt, he's constantly getting himself in a mess. He's constantly scheming why he's in the world, if you'd have it. And so here's what you'll find, that when he leaves, finally he gets out of Egypt. You know what the first thing he does? He goes back to Bethel where he left God the first time. He goes back to where he left God. And so if I get out of the will, or maybe this week, maybe last week you was on fire, but maybe this week you're fizzling out. And you'll say, well, I just don't understand what's happening. I tell you what's happened. Somewhere in our life, we've turned to the world for answers instead of the Lord. And we want reasons and explanations instead of just going off promises. And if we're not careful, we'll need some type of tangible something to help us. But God wants us to go by faith. He wants us to go off promises. He wants us to go off His Word and trust Him and have faith in Him. But you'll notice that when he gets back to Bethel and gets back to his altar, some would say this. I was reading the other day and somebody said, well, you know, he got forgiveness and he did get Hagar in this whole exchange in Egypt. So Sarah got a handmaid, okay? And then some would say, well, he got all, when he left wealthy. And if you look at it from the outside, it looks like, well, it wasn't so bad. He got forgiveness. He didn't do everything he should. He left wealthy. He left with a handmaid. He left in good terms. Well, it looks good till you read on. Problem is, a lot of people stop right there and say, well, he got forgiveness. The Lord will take care of us. You know I made a mistake, but it ain't going to be a big one. Well, let's look at the mistakes he made. Number one, Hagar continuously caused problems in his home. What he took out of Egypt cost him in Canaan. Now, you'll notice that when he leaves there, so Hagar has continuously caused him issues. Now, let's look at the wealth. Everybody's wanting to win the lottery. Everybody at my job, did you buy a ticket? Oh, man, do you know what the lottery's out? Oh, man, do you know what you can win? I said, don't care. But it's just a dollar. That's a dollar I can buy a Coke with, amen. I don't care. I'd rather have sugar, man. I don't want it. And they tell me, well, you know, some people would look at it and say, well, he was wealthy. He was. But notice what it cost him. It cost him his relationship with Lot. Now watch this. When he gets down to the point that they sojourn and they come to a place that the Bible tells us that they had so much that they started arguing over it. See, wealth ain't always what you think it is. Matter of fact, I'd like you, there's a book out you can read in more than one of them that you can read everybody that's, well, a lot of people that's won the lottery. It's depressing, amen. Everybody, one lady's won it 3 times and she's more broke now than she's ever been. She's filed bankruptcy 2 times, but yet she's won the lottery 3 times. And so, you think, well, the wealth, it was wonderful. He was rich. He left out of Egypt. But look what it cost him. Not only did it cost him something, but it cost Lot his very family because of it. We think, well, what I've done or the mistakes I made ain't a big issue, really. Is it really? Lot lost his whole family because of it. Abraham continuously had problems in his family because of what he took out of Egypt. Had he never went to Egypt, he'd have had a lot fewer problems in life than he had he not turned to the world. So what I'm saying is, a lot of times, it's easier to tend to get out of things. I like what a man said here a while back. When we get in circumstance and when we get in trouble, when things come our way, instead of always asking, Lord, how do I get out of this? Ask this, what can I get out of this? Now, you know, it's so amazing. Every time something hits, trial hits, we want to know, God, get us out. How do we get out of it? But God wants you to ask a different question. What can I get out of this, Lord? What can I get out of this situation? What can I learn from this? The other day, I learned a valuable lesson that the Lord taught me. Very small lesson, I guess you'd say. But we got a at the top of our stairs, I got about 16 stairs going up to our top bedrooms and where my daughter's bedroom is. Or that we got one of them little gates that you latch. And apparently Daddy didn't latch it, amen. I thought it was latched until I heard a big commotion. And I heard a banging and booming and rolling and I thought, what in the world was that? So I jumped up and ran and Addison's laying on her back, looking up, big old eyes. And I thought, whoa, that's a long ways down, sweetie. And she's looking up, eyes big, and then I said, oh, did you fall? And she began, and then she starts crying. I mean, I would have cried on the first fall. Amen. The first hit would have got me. But they're so flexible. They're like little slinkies, man. They just, you know, kind of tumble down and nothing gets broke. But I got her up and she cried a little bit. We got her side and you know what I did? The Lord spoke to my heart. He said, you thank me now. And I said, Addison, let's pray. She put her little hands together. I said, we must thank God for taking care of you. We must thank him for what he's done. God took care of you. And God forbid that our parents and our children don't recognize that God is in control. I said, I could have lost you, Addison. It's time to pray. Addison, no words to say. But Daddy said them for her. I said, Lord, thank you. Sure been good to us. She went down 16 stairs and barely had a scratch. I thought, Lord, it's amazing. I just told her a few minutes before, we was talking about, oh, we love you. And I said, baby, mom and daddy love you, but God loves you more than I do. And I want you to know when I'm not there, God's going to be there. I'm talking just a few minutes prior. God said, I told you. Don't tell her something you don't believe. If you believe it, tell them and stand on it. I said, God loves you, Addison. And just a few minutes later, he proved his love very quickly. And so I had to thank him. But I wonder, where is our relationship with God right now? Not a week ago, not yesterday. But where is it right now? Maybe there's circumstances at your job. Maybe there's things going on. Trust me, I know it's a day-to-day thing at my job. One day it's this, the next day it's that. And it's always a juggling act. And so I find myself from Sunday to Wednesday, I never know where I may be. It's just amazing. You may be on fire one Wednesday, next Wednesday you just about burn out. And the next Sunday you're ready to go, and the next Sunday you're not ready to go. It's amazing. It's like up and down always. But what I'm saying is tonight, right now, where are you at? As they bring a verse of song. Are you close enough that if something happens, you can get a hold of God? Are you close enough right now that if circumstance hits you tomorrow, that you know you got a direct line to God? I'd hate to know I had to get stuff out of my life in order to get in contact with God. If something happens tomorrow, I want to know that I can thank him. That's why when I knelt down and I said, let's pray, Addison. Just a few minutes before, I was explaining the love of God to my daughter. And then just a few minutes later, he was showing it. And then just a few minutes later, I had to thank him for showing him what I had done, told her about him. Amen. It's amazing. God moves if we want him to move. He'll love us and take care of us, but he wants us to be in his will. Are we in his will? Abraham got out of his will for a short period of time. You'll find other times he did. I'm not here to knock Abraham. I'm here to learn from him. I'm not here to say, Abraham, oh, he failed here, he failed there. No, sir. He was a wonderful man of God, no doubt. But if there's anything I can learn that may help me from his situation, I want to learn from it. If there's things that happen to you that I can see and I can learn, I want to learn from it. I want to learn before I have to go through it. And so I wonder tonight, is there a circumstance in your life that's affected your relationship with the Lord?